Did you all miss me?
And you're all probably saying, you were gone? You were gone? It's good to be back. It's always wonderful to get away for a little while, but it's always better. After a while, I start to miss your beautiful faces, and so it's always better to come home. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we are continuing our series on the Eucharist as we go through the Gospel, and we listen to John chapter 6. And to do a little recap of last week, because it's important for us in these first couple of weeks, we're building a foundation for the importance of the Eucharist and of us understanding what we are receiving when we come to receive this Eucharist. And as Deacon Don and Deacon Vern said in their homilies last weekend, is that God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of shared goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. And so this is what the Catechism says. And so the Eucharist, as has been said, the Eucharist is about entering the divine life of God. It's about what we were created for. We were created for communion. We were created for oneness with God. Now, what happens is sin enters the world. Adam and Eve, what is the root of the sin of Adam and Eve is that they wanted to be like God. And so when they couldn't be like God, then they chose, in order to be like God, they chose to sin. And because sin enters the world, that relationship that God intended from the beginning is broken. And so God sends his son, God sends Jesus Christ to bring man, to bring us back into that relationship. That's why when we speak about the cross, we always speak about the cross as the bridge, as a bridge, because it is Jesus, our way back to the Father, back to that original relationship that was intended for us. But so as we continue this, these reflections, we see in this gospel that Jesus has fed the 5,000 and the people got their immediate need met. No, they were hungry. They were listening to Jesus, they were hungry. Jesus fed them, and Jesus and the disciples go away. And they wake up and Jesus is gone, the guy who fed them, and they're like, hey, this was great. We got a need met. Let's go follow this guy. Maybe he can fulfill some more needs that we have. And when they go to look for Jesus, they go to look for this kind of guy that can give them what they need. And this is important for us, my dear brothers and sisters, because it's especially when it comes to religion and when it comes to the Eucharist, sometimes we can have this kind of way of perceiving God as God is there to fulfill my need. I call it the Aladdin and genie mentality of God. In other words, I come to God, when I come to Mass, I rub the lamp, and God is supposed to appear and say, yes, sir, yes, madam, what need can I fulfill? What do you want? What can I give you? And my dear brothers and sisters, that is a very dangerous way of living our faith. Because if we come here merely to have a need met, I tell you one thing, you're always going to need something. You're never going to be fulfilled. Because yes, today you need money for gas. Tomorrow you'll need money for shopping. Minor things. And this is what Jesus is trying to say to the people. If you're coming just to get a need met, then you're always going to have that void. Because my dear brothers and sisters, God is not a genie. That is the center of the Eucharist, is that God is relationship. God wants a relationship with you. God wants to be one with you. God does not want to be used as a genie. God wants to give you life. God wants you to share in that life. Now, as you all know, when I was away, I went for the wedding of my goddaughter, who I have known since she was 8, 9 years old. She's now 23, and is a ticking time reminder of how old I'm getting. But anyway, as I was participating in the wedding, I was so struck by her, and she married a man named Emilio, very nice man. But as they were making their vows, and as we were doing the rings, and I was really struck, because I've been praying about these homilies that the deacons and I are doing, and that the whole diocese is doing over these next weeks. And I was reminded as I was participating in the wedding that this is the relationship that God wants for us. A relationship of love. I mean, think about it for a second. You didn't marry each other to fulfill a need in each other. No, you marry each other and your marriage continues to grow, to deepen. But to grow in what? To grow in relationship with each other. And that marriage is a sign of that relationship that God wants to have with you and me. And that's why Jesus says to the people, don't work for food that will perish. My dear brothers and sisters, this is why we are called never to use God as a genie. Just, Lord, give me what I want. Give me what I need. That's why prayer is never about, Lord, give me. Prayer is always a relationship. It's always a deepening of that relationship. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is also what the world needs to see. Because you and I were created, as I said, we were created for relationship. We were created to make that relationship present to this world. That's why as I was in Spain, We were watching the opening of the Olympics, and after seeing that blasphemy that happened in the Olympics, my heart was just broken. And I know a lot of people, oh no, that was artistic freedom. That was you're exaggerating, Father. Let me be very honest with you. That was a direct attack against Christianity. And here's the danger, because my dear brothers and sisters, this is we act like we cannot act like this was some anomaly or some blip on the screen. because this is happening every day. And we must wake up to what is happening, to the attack that is happening on Christianity and on Catholicism in this world. And we cannot be blind and with our heads in the clouds to what is reality. That was a direct attack against us and against our faith and against what we believe and against what we stand for. That was not art. That was not a maybe and a, no. It was an attack against us. And why do I say that? Oh, Father, you exaggerate. I tell you, I don't know. First and foremost, you can't trust the news because the news is never fully truthful. But no, fully, I'm being nice. But anyway, never truthful. But anyway, there was an interview done with the artist, so-called, he said the following words. He said, "We wanted to show what France was." Speaking about the whole supper, we wanted to. You have to understand. This is why we can't be blind to this, because France was at one time the center of Christianity. We're not talking about some place that never knew God. We're talking about a country that was founded on Catholicism and on Christianity. We're talking about, my dear brothers and sisters, wake the heck up. We're talking about Notre Dame. We're talking about Saint Therese of Lisieux. We're talking about Sacré-Cœur. We're talking about major Catholic universities that were founded in France. Christianity is not new to France. It was the heart of Christianity at one time. That's why we have to wake up, because they wanted to show what France was. Okay? He continued. And he said, we wanted to show what France was and what it truly is now. In other words, France has thrown off the chains of Christianity, has thrown off the stupidity of all of that Catholic faith that was founded, all of that stupid stuff. We're finally liberated and woke, and now we're the true French. That, my dear brothers and sisters, is what happened in France. You say, oh, Father, that's France, those Europeans. Wake up, brothers and sisters, because that is happening here every day in front of us. Don't be naive to the reality of what's truly happening, of the attack that is happening against us and against the Catholic Church and against Christians. And you say, well, Father, what does that have to do with the Eucharist? It has everything to do with it. Because what happened in France was a blasphemy against God, was a blasphemy against our relationship with God and what God is truly calling us to. And if you think that that happened thousands of miles away, I'm sorry, it's happening here. We are being attacked. And the problem, you know, we speak about an inclusive, all-accepting society, unless you're Catholic. How loving is society towards us as Catholics and Christians? Interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting. If we were so included and loved as Christians and as Catholics, we wouldn't have to hide so much the fact. We would be a lot more able to speak about our faith outside of these doors. Yet what are the two things that we don't talk about outside of these doors with our families at Christmas and Easter? At Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. Religion and politics. Huh, interesting. If we were so accepted, why can't we speak about religion with our family? But we're accepted, we're loved. Bull. And we need to wake up. Because that attack on our relationship, and I'm saying this and I'm driving this point home, my dear brothers and sisters, because we remain too silent. We remain too silent. We have to stand up for our faith. We have to live our faith. We have to live the relationship. And this is why St. Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. My dear brothers and sisters, you and I, in our baptism, we by our baptism, we are different from the world. We have received a different spirit. We have received a different reality. That doesn't make us better. It makes us different. And for far too long, we have hidden the fact that we are different. For far too long, we have let the line in the sand go back farther and farther. Because for the sake of not hurting people's feelings. And my dear brothers and sisters, we have given up way too much territory. Well, Father, what do you want me to do? I mean, what can we do? There's a lot we can do. First, we can wake the heck up, first and foremost, to the reality and to call things as they are. That's the first thing. But then the second thing is we can live the relationship. How do we, you know, the people say to Jesus Christ, they say, what do we do to do the works of God? So now you look at me and say, okay, Father, what do? We live the relationship. How do we live the relationship? How do you live any relationship? As I've used an example before, how do you live the relationship of your marriage? You didn't get your spouse to just one, you didn't walk into a room one day and say to your spouse, you shall love me. It didn't work that way. You didn't sprinkle some magical pixie dust to get them to love you. If you did, please let me know, because I know of people who would love that magical pixie dust. You had to work on the relationship. You had to grow in love for each other. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, how do we make the relationship present? By growing in our relationship with God. By spending time with the Lord. By making efforts to truly spend time. By making God number one in our life. And we can do that in little ways. You know, I've been, and I'm you're going home with homework, but that homework has been to try in this last 6 months, 8 months, has been to try to train you. I say 15 minutes a day. I'm not saying set aside 2 hours a day. I'm saying set aside 15 minutes a day with the Lord. Start there. That's the low bar. I'm hoping that by starting you at the low bar, it gets a little addicting and you add a little more time every day. But my dear brothers and sisters, the only way we're going to live the relationship is if we grow in the relationship. Then, my dear brothers and sisters, we also, it's not only about growing in that relationship, but also we must live our faith in this world. We can no longer be embarrassed to be who we are. We can no longer allow the world to define who we are. And so when these atrocities, when these blasphemies, when these stupidities happen, it's important for us to call them what they are. Not to say, well, I'll wait for the Catholic Church to call it what it is. But each of us to call out the truth and to live out who we are and to say to the world, this is not what God is calling us to. This is not how God is calling us to live. But God is calling us to live as His sons and daughters. So, homework. 15 minutes a day for the next week. I'm going to send you home. Here's how I want you to do it. I'd like you to spend a little more than 15 minutes, but I again the low bar, the easy bar because it's helpful. So here's how I want you to spend 7.5 minutes. We're going to break it up evenly. So 7.5 minutes praying with John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35, which is the gospel that we read today. Okay, so I want you to pray with the gospel of today. And then I want you to spend the other 7.5 minutes reflecting on the following two questions, praying on the following two questions. Asking God, what in my own life, now personally, in my own life today, is impeding my personal relationship with you, God? So I want you to be honest with yourself. And say, what is impeding me from growing in a relationship with Christ? And asking God to help you to take it away, to take that impediment away. That's question number one. Then question number two, as I live in a world which is openly hostile towards my Catholic faith, how in my own daily life can I make my faith more present? Practical, brothers and sisters, because I'm not asking hypothetical. So, what is impeding my own relationship with God? And how can I live my faith in my own daily life? As I go to work, as I work with the kids, as I do my own daily life, how can I live my public faith more? As we come today to this Eucharist and as we proceed with these homilies, my dear brothers and sisters, let us truly ask the Lord that really we may grow in love for the Lord and to really pray for the world because it's sad to see the situation of what is happening. But we also have the mission to pray that the Lord may truly act and may truly make himself present.